Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today, our scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24, which says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." This is a wonderful verse where the Lord Jesus himself tells us, "Verily, verily," which means that we should listen up. Should mean that whatever he's going to say next is very, very important. And the point is, he's telling us that if you believe on him, that you will have everlasting life. And you'll not come into condemnation, but you're transformed from death into eternal life. What a grand transaction that is. Here we have God himself becoming man. He goes to the cross willingly, and it was really his goal. He dies for us. He pays for our sins on that cross. He's buried. He rises on the third day. He's alive. He's right there with you today, wherever you're listening to this broadcast. And you have the opportunity to not only receive him as your Lord and Savior by asking him into your heart, you have the privilege of walking with him and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry, to do the things that he's asked us to do here on life. What a great privilege we have to be brothers and sisters in Christ.
This is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. For Mission Moments this broadcast, I would like to share a report from a young Canadian girl from the Western Province. This young lady has determined that the Lord is calling her to serve in the Middle East and is now in language school in that region. I cannot speak of her name or the cities for security reasons. In a recent letter to the mission office, she begins by saying, "The Middle East has great challenges as always when working in evangelism in the 1040 window of silence. Firstly, in this region, it often takes 150 meaningful conversations with a seeker for them to turn and find the way. When she arrived in the country, although she is a Canadian, they shared that they were like-minded and had the same goals when she moved into the apartment with her new European roommate. Her new friend's visa was denied in another Middle Eastern country. The author of our letter continued her language classes at a school where she met a local teacher with a curious mind who began to become a good friend. We'll call the new friend Rebecca, who had been struggling with her thoughts and was unable to sleep due to dreams and nightmares. She soon realized that this Canadian young lady was someone she could confide in. Our young lady realized the backstory to Rebecca is that 2 years prior, she had begun to study the Word, but for a different reason. Rebecca was helping a national friend who wanted to date a girl who followed Christ. This girl was not open to dating a guy from a non-Christian religion. So the young man was studying the Word to use this text to change her mind. He was unsuccessful, although it did start the ball rolling for Rebecca to start serious investigations of what she was reading in the Word. That is when the dreams began, at a time that coincided with our visiting Canadian. As trust was built, our Canadian decided to invite Rebecca, her language school teacher, to study the Word away from the prying eyes and listening ears of language school. This turned into a regular late-night meeting to research and discuss what they were reading. Rebecca had many questions and doubts about her current belief system and fears about the future. Rebecca was living with her relatives here within the community. In this culture, you must foster friendship to be in the lives of people in a place where sharing is high risk. It is good to start with a friendship and build deeper conversations from here. Eventually, Rebecca had a dream. The man who appeared in the dream asked her why she was resisting his offer of an eternal life. She had had similar dreams, but this time her heart was ready. She shared with the Canadian missionary and said she wanted to accept Christ. There was no turning back. Surely there was a celebration in heaven. A few weeks later, one of our local missionary leaders, who previously followed the lies of the false belief system but is now a believer in the truth, agreed to take her swimming, baptism in her new belief. Through many more events, Rachel is now living together with believers, and they are looking for someone else to share the extra room in their apartment. Our Canadian young lady shared, "I was reading my Bible early in the morning when Rebecca came in the room and saw me on the couch. A big smile spread across her face as she looked at me. She saw that I was studying and writing my notes. Rebecca said, 'I can't believe we can do that here. I can't believe we can read the Word and talk to our Father. We can journal, and it's okay.' Our young lady from the West reminds us how we are so blessed to be able to read our Bibles and still have much freedom. Let us not take for granted the freedom that we have in our homes." We hope you enjoyed seeing this little window of an experience of a North American missionary stepping into a culture with many restrictions in their service to God. Pray for this young lady and all those who have become those who go and to serve for the Lord in a faraway place. Thank you for listening to this story today. Understand and pray for those who have responded to the Lord's calling for foreign missions. This month, we are offering a small book by Harvest Pocketbooks, written by Amir Sarfati. It is titled, "Jesus is Coming Any Day Now." Amir Sarfati is a native Israeli and former major in the Israel Defense Forces. He is the founder and president of the Behold Israel, a nonprofit ministry that provides Bible teaching through tours, conferences, and social media. It also provides unique access to news and information about Israel from a biblical and prophetic standpoint. Amir is married and has four children and resides in northern Israel. Any Day Now is an excerpt from Amir Sarfati's book, The Day Approaching. As you read, you'll learn about the plans God has for the world, Israel, and the church. Signs around us, all pointing to Christ's imminent return, and the Holy Spirit is doing incredible work in the world right now, wonders that await every Christian in Jesus' kingdom. To receive your copy of this book, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 12N10, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7S7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour, where we wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners.
Until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love. brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. I'm sitting in his presence, the sunshine of his face, while with adoring wonder his blessings I retrace. It seems as if eternal days are far too short to sound his praise. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning, is entitled God's Great Days. Printed copies are available upon request.
When the Apostle John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, God gave him a prophetic vision of Christ's future return to this earth, which John recorded in the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation in these words: I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today we have some good news for you. But first, let me remind you that trends and tides in the affairs of men do not halt or reverse themselves. If they're halted or reversed, it is because of the intervention of some new force great enough to bring about fundamental change. People living in the closing years of this 20th century are well aware of the powerful trends evident in the economic and social life of Western civilization. Nation after nation, including our own, is moving inexorably toward financial and economic chaos, impelled by the consequences of pyramiding debt, which mismanagement and fiscal irresponsibility on the part of governments at all levels has allowed to get out of control. This is an area in which it will take the intervention of a very powerful and responsible new political force to halt and reverse the current trend. Grim statistics chart the even more serious trend to universal social and moral decadence as we reap the inevitable consequences of abandoning spiritual verities and condoning as human rights an ever-increasing list of social evils and moral perversions. We can't say we haven't been warned. For nearly 2,000 years, mankind has had in his possession the divine revelation of absolute and eternal truth, recorded by inspiration of God in the infallible scriptures, which tell us plainly that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's equally true of nations. In other words, we cannot escape the immutable laws of cause and effect. The Bible is equally clear in its description of the current trends to spiritual apostasy and what the end result will be. We read in 2 Timothy 3 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now that's describing not only a condition, but a trend. As a consequence, the same chapter tells us, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We see these conditions on every side today, and the best efforts of men are proving futile against the trend so firmly established. As a result, many people are prone to give way to despair. They see no hope for the future. They worry about the kind of world their children and grandchildren will face. Our message to you today is be of good cheer. As I said at the beginning of this talk, there's good news for you. There is a golden future ahead for this old earth and the people who inhabit it. It isn't going to be destroyed by a nuclear holocaust or by environmental catastrophe or any other form of human folly. Someday the destructive trends that worry people today will come to a sudden end, not by human effort, but by divine intervention. Someday Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming back in person to take over the management of this earth. And when he does, he'll usher in another of God's great days that the scriptures refer to as the kingdom of heaven on earth. That kingdom will not be an abstract spiritual kingdom brought about gradually by the efforts of men and women who long for a better future. It will be a literal kingdom ushered in by the personal return of Jesus Christ to this earth at a time when world conditions under the rule of man have reached a state of chaos and hopelessness. His divine intervention at his personal return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be the factor that will halt and reverse the evil destructive trends which today are causing ever-increasing anxiety and concern. And so today we add to the list of God's great days, which we've discussed in recent talks, the coming day of Christ's millennial kingdom of heaven on this earth. Christ coming as Israel's Messiah and the recovery and restoration of God's people Israel to their promised role in his future kingdom is a central theme of God's revelation through the Old Testament prophets. When John the Baptist came on the world scene as the forerunner of Christ, his message to the Jews was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Christ, in his preaching and parables, dwelt repeatedly on the conditions that will prevail in that kingdom. When the Jews refused to believe that he was their Messiah, even after his deity was confirmed by his bodily resurrection from the dead and the revelation of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, God set Israel aside temporarily, and through the gospel of grace which he revealed to the Apostle Paul, reached out to the entire world to establish another group of chosen people, his universal church of this present age. When his church is complete, he will appear in the clouds of heaven and remove it from this earth. Following the translation of the church, there will come the great day of God's wrath, which we discussed last week, and which will end when, after pouring out the vials of God's wrath on the Christ-rejecting world, he will destroy the godless Antichrist and his armies at the great battle of Armageddon. Then will follow his judgment of the nations of the earth, as described in Matthew 25:31-46. He will then proceed to establish his long-promised millennial kingdom of heaven on earth, over which he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In ushering in his millennial kingdom, he will perform a series of momentous events of worldwide significance. One of the first things he'll do is immobilize Satan. The Apostle John describes this in Revelation 20 in these words, "I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled." Think of what that will mean. The devil, the arch deceiver of men, and all his destructive evil influence is going to be removed completely from this earth for the entire 1,000 years of Christ's earthly reign. What a respite from trials and temptations that will be. Christ will then resurrect the Old Testament saints and regather the living remnant of the house of Israel from among the Gentile nations where they've been scattered for so many years. Matthew 8:11 says, "They shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abram and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 11 says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Isaiah 35:10 adds, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Christ will then reestablish the throne of David in Jerusalem, which will be the headquarters of his millennial kingdom. Then will be fulfilled what the archangel Gabriel promised the Virgin Mary concerning her Christ child. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Under Christ's reign, the whole earth will undergo a miraculous change. The physical earth will change. There will be no more environmental problems. Isaiah 35 says, "The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. In the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." The prophet Amos describes the physical abundance of that age in these words, "The plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed." Even the animals will lose their ferocity. Isaiah 11 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." There will be no more wars. God says in Isaiah chapter 2, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." My, what an age that will be. Speaking of Christ's reign, Isaiah 11 says, "With righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." In that future day, Christ's rule over the entire earth and all peoples of the earth will be absolute. It will be a theocracy, that is, government by the direct rule of God. It will be government different from any government this world has ever known. Christ is the only one who could be trusted to govern with absolute authority, because he is divine and therefore altogether righteous. His decrees are always just, his word always true, his actions always righteous, his judgments always right. That will be in sharp contrast to the forms of government we know today. Human dictatorships are intolerable because no human can be entrusted with or is capable of rightly exercising absolute authority and power. The result always is tyranny and human enslavement. Democracy is ruled by the majority, but the decisions and judgments of the majority are not necessarily right or best. In a democracy, the godless always are in a minority. That's why there never will be a Christian government in our present age. The most the Christian minority can do in a democracy is bring their influence to bear on the process by which the majority decisions are made. But someday all this will be changed. When Christ establishes his kingdom of heaven on this earth, majority opinions and decisions no longer will dictate the form of government that will prevail. All authority and power in that day will be vested in the Supreme King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the all-wise, altogether righteous, eternal God who never makes a mistake. Think that what it will be like to be on this earth during that coming day of Christ's millennial reign. No more wars or strife of any kind, no sickness or sorrow or death, no injustices or iniquities, no poverty or hunger or want, no violence, no crime, no immorality, no fear, but the whole earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It is important for Christians to know where they fit into Christ's coming kingdom. The preserved remnant of the house of Israel, together with the resurrected Old Testament saints, will be the privileged subjects of his kingdom. Matthew 19:28 says that the 12 apostles whom Christ chose when he was here will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The Gentile peoples and nations left after the Antichrist's destruction will occupy the positions Christ will allot them when he judges the nations at his coming. But we who are members of his church, through having believed and responded to his glorious gospel of grace and received him as our Savior, will live and reign with him, not as his subjects, but as his chosen bride. What a glorious and indescribable privilege. As I close, I raise again the matter of the serious trends we see all around us today. They cry out the inevitability of future chaos unless halted by the intervention of someone wiser and stronger and greater than we. But when viewed in the light of the prophetic scriptures, they also give a clear indication that the hour of God's intervention through the personal return of Jesus Christ to this earth is very near at hand. Oh, my friend, are you ready for his return? Have you believed his gospel of grace?
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think on these verses from the Bible, from the book of Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Remember to order your copy of the booklet titled "God Jesus is Coming Any Day Now," written by Amir Sarfati. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Questions about this broadcast? Write to Tammy Campbell, Canada's National Bible Hour, member of MGO Broadcast Network. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.